We now return to moderator Richard Grimes and last week's Navasota School Board Candidate Forum from Navasota City Hall.
We're going to start with the audience questions, and we'll begin with the position 7 candidates. Jennifer Ramirez, would you like to go first with this? All right. Due to the fact that the compliance with the appropriate class size rules and number of class size waivers received, as required by the Texas Education Code 39.106, in development of the targeted on-site improvement plans were not followed, would you as a school board member request a new plan be presented to the board for a vote that followed all the state rules?
I think that following the law should be number one in every decision that we make. I actually was at High Point visiting, and there was some talk about the high class number, and I got information about the music teacher, Mrs. Nobles, going into the classroom. What bothers me about this waiver situation is absolutely that Navasota ISD failed and did not follow the law, probably lied to us. There was some deception. But more importantly, waivers are not going to help the classrooms anyway. A waiver is just, you know, the state saying it's okay to be overloaded. Being overloaded and having a waiver does not help our teachers, does not help our students. So more importantly to me is why we are overloaded, and let's get teachers to fix the problem. And I think that it's really sad that a teacher had to step up, and I'm not even sure at this point what all is going on with the music program. Last time I heard, it's just not even happening. I think that that's pretty sad that a music teacher had to step up to become a classroom teacher instead of administrators knowing there was a problem, because Ms. Nobles even spoke at a board meeting months ago saying what the problem was as a teacher and as a parent. And for them not to step up and fix the problem, and her having to be creative to fix their own problems, absolutely not. That's why we have administrators. It's to handle those types of problems. And I think our board and our superintendent failed that school tremendously.
Okay. Jennifer Foltz, you get to answer this next. I'll reread it.
Okay.
Due to the fact that the compliance with the appropriate class size rules and number of class size waivers received as required by the Texas Education Code 39.106 in development of the targeted on-site improvement plans were not followed, would you as a school board member request a new plan be presented to the board for a vote that followed all the state rules?
Absolutely. I mean, we've got to follow the law. We've got to follow the rules. We have to have good plans in place that are followed. I think, as Jennifer said, waivers are just a Band-Aid, and they're not a solution. And I think it's discouraging or unfortunate that a waiver was considered instead of doing what was necessary, and that is finding a way to find another teacher. Evidently, there was another teacher available because now she's available. So I think it's important that we're not putting Band-Aids on issues or problems. It's just another way that the district has broken trust within its own community, within the district, and with us in the community. It's just another issue that leads me to believe that trust does not exist in this community. It has to be rebuilt.
Okay. And Danny, you're next. Due to the fact that the compliance with the appropriate class size rules and number of class size waivers received as required by the Texas Education Code 39.106 in development of the targeted on-site improvement plans were not followed, would you as a school board member request a new plan be presented to the board for a vote that followed all the state rules?
First of all, on the waivers, that was a ball that was dropped by the administration. I have to freely admit that. And then a drop ball by us for not following up. That, you know, we've got to take ownership for our mistakes as well, because we're going to make them. As far as the targeted improvement plans, there's a lot of discrepancy on what really is and is not required. I know there's certain different ones based on what's going on. Dr. Parker's been really beneficial in helping us with that. That's his job. That's his expertise. I would have to defer to him to say, do we need to go back and redo this based on what you know, or was the rules followed?
Okay. Greg, you're next. Due to the fact that the compliance with the appropriate class size rules and number of class size waivers received as required by the Texas Education Code 39.106 in development of the targeted on-site improvement plans were not followed, would you as a school board member request a new plan be presented to the board for a vote that followed all the state rules?
Absolutely, and I'm going to back up a little bit further. Intermediate was not followed correctly. So between the intermediate and the web, the way things are going there with this reconstruction plan, the reconfiguration, the whole thing, we need to table all this right now. We need to table this and make sure that we proceed forward in a proper fashion, but also in a legal fashion, because it's not happening. Dr. Parker, you mentioned there, he's a consultant that we pay to come in and help us with one of these things, with all of these things. And him and Ms. Harrison, and we pay them good money. And one of the things that they do have to look at is class sizes. That's one of their parameters. How did we pay a consultant to come in and they didn't catch this, and it had to be brought up by the PTO mom at High Point? This is something that we're going to have to back up and say, whoa, let's table this thing on moving forward with any kind of reconfiguration or reconstruction.
Okay. Mark, would you like me to reread that?
No,
I can. I'm used to it now.
Best I can with the knowledge I have. I'm not familiar with all that takes place with the waiver, that took place with the waiver and all, but I do know that the class size situation has been a problem. So I guess I would say that is some research that myself I would have to do, even if I'm elected as being a board member, some research that I would have to look into to help make that decision and come up with a solution to that.
Okay. Marilyn, how about you? Would you like me to reread that?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I'll first start with the waiver issue, and I did, in fact, when I first read on Facebook the issue with High Point and the parent who had made some investigations, and so I followed through. I did the same thing. I made the calls to TEA. I talked to the person who was over waivers. I did go back and read board book policies, and I did go back and read our minutes. In September of last year, we did direct the superintendent or his designee to apply for waivers. Now, the waiver did not fix the problem. The waiver made us legal at that point in time. What I think none of the board knew at that time was the fact that waivers are never granted to schools that are in the category of improvement required. And none of us knew that, nor were we given that information. And I don't make assumptions, so I will say a presumption was that because we directed that to happen, at least to make the application, then the presumption was that that was taken care of, and we never heard any more about that. The other thing that I will say is the targeted improvement plan, and I know my time is up, but I'm going to finish that statement, was handled as best we knew to handle it according to the service provider who we paid to come in and advise us.
Thank you, Marilyn. All right, we're going to move to the second question, and we'll start with the position six candidates first. Greg, if you'd like to take this one. If elected, what do you believe to be the top priority to address as a new board?
I think y'all can figure that out from where I've been on here tonight. We've got it. We have to address this situation with our superintendent. So that's going to be the very first thing that we need to address. We're not going to fix anything until we get that right. Our superintendent sat in the last board meeting, and I was there, and told the story of why those waivers were not applied for. He said they forgot to hit the send button. Nobody's believing that. That's the dog ate the homework. Nobody's believing this. You can't honestly say that we're going to move forward with someone that will tell a story like that to us. It's unacceptable. That's the first thing we're going to do.
Okay. Mark, you're next. If elected, what do you believe to be the top priority to address as a new board?
I would focus on our discipline in our schools that's affecting our education. Because one thing about it is knowing that we have kids in the classroom that are acting out, it's hard for a teacher to have the attention of other students. So that's one thing that we'll work on. Our focus on is discipline. So if there's anybody that has discipline problems and want to work on discipline problems and it's not being done, I'll be your man to deal with that because I'm big on discipline.
Okay. Marilyn, how about you? If elected, what do you believe to be the top priority to address as a new board?
I actually believe that we are about the students. That is our job. So I am for the students and for providing the most equitable education we possibly can for all students, whether they're struggling, whether they're on target, whether they are way above the mark. All students must have quality education. And I am for hiring and keeping the best teachers that we can and make them want to be a part of building this success so that others want to come. That's administrators, that's teachers, that's staff, that's anybody who wants to be a part of this school needs to have the goal with the children as the priority.
Okay. We'll continue with Danny. If you are elected, what do you believe to be the top priority to address as a new board?
It's hard to come up with just one top priority, you know, because the budget's always going to be a priority, especially in a legislative year. Looking at the leadership, as Greg said, is always going to be a priority for all of us. Looking at a curriculum, making sure that we have a good curriculum that goes pre-K through 12, that the three schools that are all together aligned as pre-K through 5 are all doing the same thing, that they are all following the same curriculum. We haven't had that in the past. We need to get to the point that every one of those three is following the same curriculum.
Okay. Jennifer Fultz, we'll do you next. If elected, what do you believe to be the top priority to address as a new board?
I believe accountability is the top priority, and not only at the superintendent level, at the school board level, but all the way down, even the community. I think in order to rebuild trust, we have to have accountability, and we can't do it alone. It's got to be a team. It's got to be the school district with the community, with parents, not adversaries. So it's in order to gain the trust, we've got to have the accountability, and then we can have the teamwork that will take our district to the level it needs to be.
Okay. Jennifer Ramirez, if elected, what do you believe to be the top priority to address as a new board?
I think that following the law is number one. We also need to make sure, as Greg said, that the right leaders are in place, and if they aren't, we need to be making decisions to make sure that they are in place. Discipline, as Mark said, I would also agree with. If you talk to most any teacher in Navasota ISD, they will tell you that we have problems, and we have got to wake up, fix those problems so that our teachers can teach and our students can learn. We also, I'm just going to touch on everybody, as Marilyn said, we need to be keeping our good teachers. I said earlier we don't always keep them, and I want to step back and say that we do keep some very great teachers in Navasota, so we do that. And also, higher our expectations. Another thing is giving money to our para professionals and other staff. It's been said that the teachers got a raise. That's great. Number one, our teachers were already behind the ball. Navasota hasn't given them a raise in several years. So at this point, they're playing catch up. Now they're tabling the decisions on para salaries. We need to stop tabling it for a next meeting and next meeting and figure out what we're going to do about these other people. Some of these people teach classrooms and work as hard or some harder as teachers do. Where are the decisions for them? When are we going to step up for those people as well? We talked about dropping the ball earlier. If Lisa Dora's team dropped that ball every time, his team would be losing. And it is time that Navasota stops losing and begins winning.
Okay, we'll move to the next question, and we'll begin with the position 7 candidates. Jennifer Fultz, we'll let you take this first. If part of the problem of low test scores is the result of a lack of respect for education in the home, how as a board member can you change that attitude?
I think it's necessary that parents become involved with their child's education. They have to understand that the importance of it, and I don't think the district looking at the community and telling them that this is what you need to do is going to create that. I think as a school board member, as I said, I would go out into the community and share with people the importance. If they're not getting that from their home, then they can get it from other people in their community. So I think it's coming together and making it a priority for all of us to let all of the students know in this community how important education is and how it will create a community that is successful, not only a school district, but our entire community. Thank you.
Okay. Jennifer Ramirez, same question. If part of the problem of low test scores is the result of a lack of respect for education in the home, how, as a board member, can you change that attitude?
I would say that we absolutely need to all be working as a team. As everybody in this room knows, when our football team is in the playoffs, our stands are full, not only with people who live here, but alumni, visitors, people just watching. We all need to come together. I do not like seeing negative things as anyone else does. It breaks my heart. I have lost several sleepless nights worrying about the problems in this district. So I think we all need to come together as a community, whether you have kids or not. Taxpayers, you know, need to step up and do the parts that they have. Parents need to step up, work harder, and teachers need to do their best. And ultimately the student does, but we need to make it to where the students want to do a good job for us. And if they aren't, figure out why they aren't. But it's absolutely going to be a team effort across the board in the shape that we're in.
Okay, thank you. Danny, you get to handle that next. If part of the problem of low test scores is the result of a lack of respect for education in the home, how, as a board member, can you change that attitude?
I think we need to start encouraging more of our teachers to go out into the homes themselves. Set up times after school where they can go and meet with the family so that they can get to know these kids. Call to their houses, not when the kid's in trouble, but when they've done something positive. Try to make that first contact a positive contact, and so that you build a relationship. With teachers that don't live in this district because of living in College Station, they don't have that direct relationship, and we really need to try to encourage that. If they can get that relationship with that kid and their parents, that's going to help foster that interest in education.
Very good. Mark, you get to handle that next. If part of the problem of low test scores is the result of a lack of respect for education in the home, how, as a board member, can change that attitude?
As Mr. Niffin said, it's about building a relationship with the teacher, the parent, the student. Being part of Navasota, president of Navasota Youth Football League, that's one thing that I stress more, that at our games and functions outside of the school, we don't see any teachers. Maybe very few, and therefore, with that being done, you may have some leverage, or going back to say that therefore, you just not only time after school meet with the parents, therefore you have opportunity to talk with the parents, tell what's going on, find out what's going on with the parent or with the child, and encourage them to get more involved. Not even that after you punch out from your regular school day, keep the doors open an extra hour to meet with the parent, encourage the parent, invite the parent, and just you got to stay on, and we got to encourage the parents. We know that our parents have to get more involved and more concerned about our kids' education. We have a lot of young parents, and therefore we need someone that can relate to our young parents. Some people that, like myself, have young kids in the school system, so that would be a way that I would.
All right. Marilyn, you're next. If part of the problem of low test scores is the result of a lack of respect for education in the home, how, as a board member, can you change that attitude?
The first thing I'd say is parents send us the best they have at home. They're not keeping the good ones in the closet or wherever. They send all of their students to us. When they come through the doors, those students become our responsibility, Navasota ISD's responsibility. Yes, we must try to build relationships with parents, but ultimately we must have higher expectations for all of our students. And I honestly do not believe that is the case. Higher expectations prove to get better results. And until we do that, I don't know if we can get over that mark. We must have parent support. But if we don't, those students are still ours. And it is our responsibility to see that they are educated.
Okay. Greg, you're last to get that. If part of the problem of low test scores is the result of a lack of respect for education in the home, how, as a board member, can you change that attitude?
We're going to have more programs. And the one that comes to mind, I think we had a program at Webb, I believe, that was a take-home reader deal, and it involved the parents coming up and reading with the children. That was for 25 kids, so that was a good start. We need to do that, but we have to have more of those type programs. Get those parents into schools. Get them involved with their kids. I was a Little League coach for 9 years. My son played, and some of the best times were those peewee league, the small one, the T-ball. And you could tell the kids that the parents worked with them. And then you can tell the kids that showed up there and they have never held a baseball before. So we've got to get those kids with their parents, helping them out, working with them individually with more programs like the reading program at Webb.
Okay. Thank you. One of the things that we will do after the questions have been answered is give each of the candidates a 1 to 2 minute opportunity to close the session from their perspective. And basically just a closing statement. So with that, is that what you're talking about? Good. All right. Let's move on then. And to keep things kind of rotating, Marilyn, we'll let you start with this next question. What would you do to restore trust between the school and the community?
I actually believe that having meetings just like this, the one that we had at Plantersville, the sessions that we've had where we've had public comments at our board meetings, anything that we can do to hear what the public has to say, what our parents have to say. We must be in tune with what the parents are expecting from the schools. Now, we can't always deliver all of those things, but there must be communication between all parties involved, or we're never going to solve any of our issues and we're never going to have the trust. Communication is key.
Okay, thank you. Greg, we'll let you take that next. What would you do to restore trust between the school and the community?
Every relationship, the cornerstone of every relationship, is being honest. We have to have an administration that's going to be honest with us. And as a school board, when they're not being honest, we need to bring this out. So that's what I want to do. I'm going to demand that our superintendent and his staff, administrators, are held accountable and being honest with us. You can't build trust without honesty.
Okay. And Mark, you're next with that. What would you do to restore trust between the school and the community?
Both Greg and Ms. Niffitt. Oh, I'm sorry. we all in the same alignment. But also to, like you said, build trust and not build trust, but work on our communication, have more town hall meetings where, and not only that, be good listeners. And not just listen, but work towards fixing whatever needs to be fixed. And I always said that God gave us 2 ears and 1 mouth, so it's best to use them as he to that advantage. And we listen, dissect what's being told to us, and then work towards fixing our problem. Understanding that everything cannot be fixed overnight, but that's one thing that we can do to build the trust, is be good listeners and good communicators.
Okay. Thank you. Danny, you get that question next. What would you do to restore trust between the school and the community?
I, too, have enjoyed this last week. I mean, Monday night we did this in Plantersville. We're doing it here tonight, and this has actually been really enjoyable. The only thing I would like to see, and we can't do it in a candidate form, but if I was on the school board again, is to have something more interactive, that we could sit and talk like this. We can't do that at a school board. I mean, we have rules and regulations that when there's public comments, we don't respond to that directly. We make sure that we go through and have the superintendent do what he needs to do to respond appropriately. But sitting in the boardroom itself, by our rules, we're not allowed to sit there and get in a discourse. I would love to be able to do that. You know, for the longest time when I was on the board, the only people there were people related to the school. There was nobody else there. A year and a half now, it's been happening. And we may not look like we enjoy it up there, because I'm sorry, I don't react to them a whole lot normally in my whole life, but we do. I like to hear the comments of the community and the people around here. That's what we're on here for, is to serve you as the community members. And more like this is great. I'm loving this. I'm glad we get to stay a little bit longer, too. And so hopefully we'll get more into this as we go forward.
All right, thank you. Jennifer Ramirez, we'll let you handle that next. What would you do to restore trust between the school and the community?
The fact of the matter is that the school board is elected to represent the community. So we need to be welcoming to that community. And I'll be honest, I was a little disappointed a couple of weeks ago. I was walking out of the boardroom, and two board members walked out with me. So it was literally three people. And I said, good night, y'all be careful. One of those board members spoke to me and the other didn't. And I went home pretty upset, and I couldn't figure out why that was. I still don't know why that was. But we cannot treat our customers like that. We are serving our customers, and we have to do the best job, you know, whether we like it or not. It's not always going to be fun and cuddly, and I don't expect a hug and a kiss goodnight, but I do expect common courtesy. I think that goes a long way. We need to listen. When people are speaking at the podium, I think that we need to have our heads up, look alive, give eye contact. It takes a lot to get up and talk to a big group of people. And I think the least that our people can do, and what I plan on doing, is giving eye contact and the common courtesy, like I said, that goes pretty far, and not be condescending. So welcoming our customers, our community that we absolutely represent.
Thank you. Jennifer Fultz, same question. What would you do to restore trust between the school and community?
I think I've talked about this already, but I think it's important that we're going out to our community. It hasn't worked for us to sit in the board meeting and wait for people to come to us. There is a trust issue, so they're not going to come to us until they feel the trust exists. So we're going to have to go out and rebuild the trust or build trust in some ways that hasn't existed. I think open and honest communication is important. No one's going to listen to you if they don't feel like you're being honest with them. I think at the end of the day, holding people accountable at every level is what ultimately builds trust with people. If you know that you set rules or you make policies and that you're going to hold people accountable to those, people will trust you and know that your plan is a positive plan and you're going to move in the right direction.
Okay. Next question. We'll start with Jennifer Ramirez, if you're ready.
Sure.
What would you as a school board member require the two TEA-mandated monitors who are hired by our district to meet with parents, teachers, and community members as stated in Texas Education Code 106?
What would I do?
Is that a question? As I'm reading this, it says, what would you as a school board member require of the two TEA-mandated monitors?
Okay, good. I would require them to know what's going on in Navasota ISD. I think Greg mentioned earlier, they are paid a big salary. Legally, we have to have them come in because of the problems that we have. I get that. There was a group of us that had a private meeting with both of our monitors, and we asked them some pretty hard questions. They knew some things, but they didn't know all about what was going on. One of them even mentioned, it's probably time for me to kind of get out of this. The point that we're in right now, we cannot afford people to not be knowing what's going on. We have to require them to know what's going on. They are paid to know what's going on and help us fix our problems. So we have to hold people like that accountable. They're in here to help us, and we need them to help us.
Thank you, ma'am. Danny, you're next with that one. What would you as a school board member require the two TEA mandated monitors who are hired by our districts to meet with parents, teachers, and community members as stated in Texas Education Code 106?
First of all, know and follow the law if you've read some of these, they are really hard to understand. Legislatures love to make things that nobody else can understand, and that's a lot of this. So make sure they understand the law and that they know who to go to if they have a question, that they can get the correct answer so that we are doing everything that we are supposed to, as mandated by the TEA code. They do need to know what's going on, and hopefully they are. I know Jennifer referring to Dr. Parker's comment. He wants to get out of this district because he's been here too long. And that means we're not doing what we're supposed to and getting our schools to pass. And so he wants to get out of here for that reason. It's not that he doesn't want to do his job. He wants to get out of here so he doesn't. That means Navasota's doing okay. And that's the reason he wants to be gone.
Okay. Jennifer Fultz, you're next. What would you as a school board member require the two TEA-mandated monitors who are hired by our districts to meet with the parents, teachers, and community members as stated in Texas Education Code 106?
I think in any job you want to look for a couple of things, one of which is experience, to know that that person has done this job well before, that they're capable of doing that. I think it's important that they are willing to invest in the community and really understand what our community is dealing with currently, what our past has been, and that takes an extra step. If you're just coming here weekly, you're not going to figure that out. It's going to require that you talk to people and understand the feeling of everyone and know what the issues are. And again, understanding of the law, that's it's difficult sometimes, and so we need to have people that we trust know what they're doing. And I think that goes along, you know, again, the trust issue. But
okay. Next, Marilyn, we'll let you take this. What would you as a school board member require the two TEA-mandated monitors who are hired by our district to meet with parents, teachers, and community members as stated in Texas Education Code 106?
I think most of the points have pretty well been covered. I do think knowing and following the law, and obviously if they are employees of the Texas Education Agency, I would hope that they have been vetted from that side so they wouldn't be sending people out to be the PSP, the professional service providers, without having the background information that they need. They should be able to know or should know and be able to follow the law. One of the things that I think is important is to understand when Dr. Parker says, I've been here too long, it's because he wants to see progress. He wants to get out of here, not because he's tired of us. Well, maybe he is, but because he's been here too long. I think all of us would agree he's been here way too long. We need to get out of this hole, and he needs to move on. But it's because his job is finished, not because he can't get it done. And I think that's what we've got to struggle and stick with, is seeing that the recommendations are followed.
Okay. Greg, you're next with that one. What would you as a school board member require the two TEA-mandated monitors who are hired by our districts to meet with parents, teachers, and community members as stated in Texas Education Code 106?
Well, I'll repeat it again. Follow the law. Follow the Texas Education Code. Again, I'll say one of their parameters that they're supposed to look at is class size. Now, we pay a consultant to go to High Point, and she's been there since August. And she goes into the classrooms, and she pulls each kid out individually, but she sees them all together. Now, to let y'all know, the first grade class is limited to 22 kids. So evidently, this lady can't count to 24 because there's 24 kids in each class. That's the way it started. Then it became 25, 26, and 27 until we finally had to step up, and the music teacher stepped up, and we abandoned the music program just to have another classroom. So that's that. But when Dr. Parker said that at that board meeting, I visited with him afterwards. Let me put that in context. He was telling the school board that he was going to another place to shut down a school. He was working on that. That's a reality here for us, and that was a warning shot. It wasn't that he didn't want to be here, any of that. That was a warning shot for us. We're headed in the wrong direction, and we've got to turn that around.
Thank you, Greg. Mark, you're the last one to get a shot at this. What would you as a school board member require the two TEA mandated monitors who are hired by our district to meet with the parents, teachers, and community members as stated in Texas Education Code 106?
Not wanting to be repetitive of everything that's been stated, because we all in agreement with all, but knowing that the individuals know what they're doing, their job is following the law, and want to see improvement. The main thing, and I mean, I can repeat everything everyone else has said, but that's the base point of it.
Okay. All right. How about one more question, and then we'll do the wrap up. I think y'all will enjoy it. I just took a peek ahead at the next one in the stack here. By the way, these haven't been ordered, if that's of any significance to you. And why don't we start, Danny, why don't we let you start this off this time. Are you in favor of statewide testing, and please explain?
No, I'm not in favor of statewide testing. I've never been a fan of it. I think especially now with the new testing that's out there with STAR, they have gone way overboard. They are asking kids at a very young age to do things that a lot of us adults couldn't do. It is amazing what they think that these kids can do at an age that they're not developmentally able to do. We have got to get out of STAR. We have got to get back to more local control, not only for the testing, but everything in the districts. The state mandates things left and right. The federal government mandates things. And these are killing school districts, not only here, but everywhere. We've got to get rid of this. I don't know how we do it. We've got to keep encouraging the district or the state legislature, but they seem to be hooked into it very well, and getting rid of it is going to be really hard. That said, we've still got, that's what we've got to play with. So we've got to do everything we can to do the get these kids ready for these exams. And I know it's hard. I can't imagine. I would never want to be a teacher doing that, because I don't think I could teach some of those things that they have to, because I don't know if I would understand it. And so we've got to do everything we can to give those teachers the ability to teach for those STAR tests, even though we don't like it, because that's what we have to play with.
Okay. Jennifer Fultz, we'll let you tackle that next.
Okay.
Are you in favor of statewide testing? And please explain.
I'm not in favor of statewide testing. I do understand that it is a tool to hold us accountable, and I am about accountability, but I don't think it's an effective tool. I think, again, like Danny said, local control is important. We're the ones that know what our kids are up against, and we're the ones that know what success is for this area and what we want as success. It's not a one-size-fits-all or success equals blank for everyone across the board and across the entire nation. That's not helpful to students. I think it's important that we are doing the best we can in our community to say what success looks like, so that we're not solely looking to the testing, although that is something that we have to deal with.
Okay. Jennifer Ramirez, same question. Are you in favor of statewide testing? And please explain.
I'd first like to ask anybody who's in favor of statewide testing to stand up. I want to talk to you. I'm absolutely not in favor. I've been doing some research. There are some great groups beginning to grow in number throughout the state. I'll be putting those on my website later for you to take a look at. But I think that people are getting fed up with these tests and are finally doing something about it. It's going to take everyone, from parents to teachers, everyone to step up and actually do something. But there's some people fighting for that. I've been tutoring a student for several weeks. He takes his test on Monday. It is stressful. It's stressful for those kids. I've seen it as a teacher. As a parent, I've seen my children stress out about it. And Kimberly's here. I hope I don't throw her under the bus or anything. But she struggled testing. And to be honest, she hated school for those testing reasons. She was never a good tester. Sorry. She was never a good tester and struggled with it. And that's absolutely so sad to see your child struggle over something that she just naturally cannot handle. So, no, I'm not in favor of that. And to be honest, these tests in our town and all over the state have hurt people. They've hurt people's jobs. They've hurt relationships. And kids' love of learning. And I do not think that that's fair. So, absolutely not.
Thank you. Greg, we'll let you tackle that next. Are you in favor of statewide testing? And please explain.
I'm all for it. I'm joking. Just had to get that reaction. No, absolutely not. This is ridiculous. And the most egregious part, I think, is the end of course thing. So the EOC, if y'all know that about that, that's 15% of the kids' grade. Some kids just don't do well on standardized testing. We know this. Everybody knows it. And why our state legislature is forcing this on us. We need to take this same passion in this room, and every one of us needs to talk to our state legislatures, put the pressure on them, and end this. We need to have some kind of accountability. Jenny's right. We have to have some sort of accountability, there's no doubt. But we've got to get away from this high-stakes stuff. The thing about it, though, is Danny's right. It's our that's the hand that we're dealt right now, and we have to deal with that. So going forward, and we have to put that pressure on the state legislature, we're going to have to deal with it for now, though. So we've got to do the best we can. I'm not saying teach to the test. We need to teach a program, but don't specifically teach to the test. That's it.
Mark, you get this next.
Thank you.
Assuming that you're not in favor of statewide testing. No, seriously, are you in favor of statewide testing? And if so, please explain.
No, I'm not in favor of statewide testing. Just with the experience of, you know, the STAR test, I had opportunity to meet with kids and that are struggling preparing for the test. And my thing is, if a kid can't read, how can he pass a statewide test if he can't pass the test in the regular classroom? So, and then on the other hand of it, if I do good all 12 years of my school year, and then my walking across the stage is determined by a STAR test or a statewide test, I mean, I'm not with it, because I mean, it affects a lot of kids, present and past, you know, that had to constantly go back and try to pass tests, and you know, want to go on with their future, I mean, couldn't just because of statewide test that was holding them back.
Okay, Mark, thank you. Marilyn, you're the last one to get this one tonight. Are you in favor of statewide testing? And please explain.
Well, one of the things I would say is in March, I pulled up from the internet the new math testing standards, and I think if any of you have children in elementary grades, you would know that it's ludicrous. The standards changed. The fifth grade students are expected to perform seventh grade math problems, or whatever you want to call it. I mean, it's all the way across the board. Math's not my big thing anyway, so I hope I don't ever have to take this test. But we've said it over and over. I started tonight with it, and several others have also said one size does not fit all. We cannot expect all students to perform in the same way on the same test. And Greg is right. The only way that we are going to get any changes made is to convince our legislators, I hate to say it, but they don't know what they're doing when it comes to testing. They are dooming many children who now have no self-esteem because they can't pass the test. We've got to find a way.
Okay.
Call. Absolutely.
All right. We're going to give each one of the candidates 1 to 2 minutes to provide us with some closing comments or a closing statement on their behalf, and I'd like to suggest we keep with the turnover order of things, if we can get through the storm,
yeah.
And let Jennifer Ramirez, if you would, like to start us off.
Sure. First of all, I want to apologize if I seemed a little bit heated. During the break, one of my friends said, man, you need to tone it down a little bit. I am very passionate about this. I'm not going to cry. I've been a teacher. I've seen with my own eyes the problems that are going on. As a parent, my daughter graduated in 2009. Things were pretty darn good back in 2009. My son, lucky enough, is a senior, so he's about to be out of this. I do not have a dog in this fight after, my own personal children, after May when he graduates. However, my heart is in it for all of the students in this district, not only our students, but our teachers and the families that are here. I will fight and do everything that I can to help our district. Nobody says, you know, when I grow up, I think I'm going to be on the school board. That looks like fun, or that sounds like fun. Nobody's in this to be fun. It's not going to be fun. It's not going to be easy, and it's definitely not going to be fast. My kids will be out of the house, and David will probably be glad if I'm gone for quite a while. I need something to do. I'm doing this because my heart is in it, and I'm willing to spend the time to do my homework and also to spend those late nights at those board meetings as I have before.
Okay, thank you. Jennifer Fultz, you get to go next.
Thank you guys for being here to become informed. I think in any democracy, you're going to be voting. You want to know who you're voting for. I think if you haven't heard from me already, what I'm about is providing equitable education to all of the students. I'm about ensuring that students and teachers have the necessary resources to be successful. I'm about rebuilding trust in this community. And I'm about setting high expectations and holding everyone accountable. I'm a hard worker, and I love this community. And at the end of the day, I just want what is best for this community, and I want to see us succeed. Someone asked me the other day, why in the world would you run for school board? It's a thankless job, and it is a thankless job, but someone has to do it. And I want to do it because I want to see things change. And I'm about doing and solving, being a part of the solution, and not sitting back and complaining. So thank you guys again.
Thank you. Danny Neffin, you get to go next.
All right. Again, also thank you everybody for coming out tonight. This has been fantastic. Going back to the last question, though, I do know that KDISD recently passed a resolution about abolishing statewide tests. I do think that is something that Navasota ISD should look into as well, whether I'm on the board or not. No doubt I want you to vote for me when it comes time. But you know what? After this week, this district has won. The two meetings that we've had, as I said earlier, have been fantastic. Win or lose, I know our students are going to be in really good hands. I want to thank all the candidates for everything that they're doing out there. They have been very nice to each other. I mean, I've known Graham for a long time. I've known, obviously, Miss Bettis a long time. I've made three new friends recently. And this has been enjoyable for me, and I just know that we as a district have won, but we need to keep this up. No matter who wins, this is something that needs to keep up, that we have meetings like this so we can have that input like we need.
Okay. Greg, you're next.
Well, thank you all for coming out again, too. And I got to tell you, I'm excited about this. I'm ready to get my hands in here and get to work on things. I know a lot of things tonight we've gone over some negative things, but I'm ready to get this ball going in the right direction here. And going back to where I started at, we have to have that accountability at the top. And I feel like if you get the right person there, a lot of those other things are going to fall into place. They're going to solve a lot of those issues if you get right. It's not going to solve all of them, but you're going to solve a lot of those issues when you get that right person on top. In the 1980s, the Chrysler Corporation was failing. The board hired a new CEO, Lee Iacocca. He came in and changed everything. He didn't fire everybody, but he held everybody accountable, and they changed everything, and they became a successful business again. That's what we want to do here with this school district. It's not just a STAR test, though. We got to do it at every level. We find ourselves now, we're scrambling to make up ground with bullying, pay raises for the teachers, and hiring minorities in the administration. We've got to take care of all those things, and I believe if we get the right person there, those things will fall into place. And I think it's going to take a while, but I believe it's going to have a compensatory effect as well. And that, by that I mean we're going to catch up pretty quick. You get the right person there, you'll have that compensatory effect, and we're going to get this going back on the right track. Thank you.
Mark, you're next, sir.
Throughout this short experience, I wish we can all sit together and help make the decisions concerning our school. But one thing I do know, that I'm going to work hard in trying to get the job done. I believe that we can succeed. We can, you know,
I got to believe that our kids can succeed. Y'all, excuse me, I'm excited. Without, you know, without us lowering standards, you know, I believe that we can meet and exceed state requirements. But it's going to take all us working together. If not elected, I'm still going to do my part in the community, as I have always done, because I have a passion for our kids. Because I look at some of those out there in the community, in our school system. I was once one of those kids. Well, I was an athlete that was treated different because I was an athlete. That when time came for graduation, that my being treated different had an impact on some of my directions in life. But not only that, but I don't have but a high school education. But that doesn't mean that I'm not successful. I have two businesses. And in that, I've been able to make decisions, you know, to get both of my barbershops to where it needs to be. But I believe that all of us working together with my capabilities along with others, that we can get our schools to where it needs to be. Done.
Thank you, Mark. Marilyn, you get to wrap it up for us.
Okay. This is the teacher coming out in me. I will listen, communicate after carefully studying issues, and I will work to improve Navasota's public image and the trust. I will serve with integrity, dependability, and commitment to improve education for all students. I believe NISD teachers and school employees should be treated with respect. We should seek and retain highly qualified teachers. We need to tell people Navasota is doing good things. We need to not always be about the negatives. We must have higher standards, and we must increase our academic rigor. I want to turn this passion of mine into reality. I want Navasota students to be able to read when they leave first grade. I want all students to develop and have a quality education. And hey, there will be a waiting list for people trying to get their children into Navasota ISD. This election is not about me. It's about the students. All students, a quality education for them is my priority. I want to help Navasota ISD prove that we can turn this district around and we can get it done.
Why don't you give all of them a hand? They've been through it.
For the past 2 hours, you've been listening to last week's Candidate Forum, featuring candidates for places 6 and 7 on the Navasota School Board here on Navasota News. Early voting in the Navasota School Board election begins next Monday at the Navasota Center. In the Anderson-Shiro School Board election, early voting begins next Monday at the County Courthouse in Anderson. For a complete listing of voting times and locations, call the County Election Administrator at 936-873-4424 or visit our website, navasotanews.com.